try to do this message. From the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And, Deke, would you read that in from the King James Version, please?
We're reading from the book of Galatians, now the first.
Just a minute, Deke, let's see. Read 3 through 8.
Again, the book of Galatians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 and through verse 8, King James Version. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Okay, the only gospel that we recognize, hear, and know is the grace gospel.
Jesus.
Paul had, the Apostle Paul was very opinionated on this matter, having received this gospel of Christ from the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. He was rightly disturbed by it was his right to voice his opinion so strongly. This opinion wasn't by confidence or competition or hearsay or nay-nay. It was by the revelation by the Son of God 3 years on the Arabian desert. And he felt strongly about it because a whole dispensation had been given to him.
Yes,
not law, not promise, not human government or conscience or innocence, but by the grace of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul was neither an apostle of men, but by Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and the Father, who raised him from the dead. Acts 9, 4 and 5 gives us an illustration of what Paul went through. Paul was not the 12th disciple. He was unique because his ministry was unique. He originally, his ministry came into being after the 12, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he did not walk with Jesus while he was here. His ministry was after of the earthly ministry of Jesus. In Acts 9:20, we see that his ministry was to the Jews. He went to the Jews first, but then he was called to go to the Gentiles. His ministry was from Christ and God, who raised him from the dead. The term apostle signifies the following: that you saw the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that you have a right to set forth doctrine, and ultimately you die as an apostle. The term Galatia here was a territory in Turkey, and there were many cities and towns in Galatia and in the area. The text doesn't say which area of Galatia and the brethren which were with him. These brethren preached the same gospel as the Apostle Paul. A clear delineation of what he preached, Paul was not going to preach something different as his contemporaries. Paul's ministry was a grace gospel given to him by Jesus Christ. And he was steadfast in that ministry, and he was going to preach it. And now I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, and I want to start by saying this, that the Apostle Paul was very, very committed to this gospel. A whole dispensation had been given to him, and when you're given a dispensation, you take it seriously because it's from God himself. And here in Acts chapter 27, the reason why I'm going there is because to the Ephesian elders, which was far from Galatia, Paul had went through the different things about being an apostle and about what would happen when he left. And this is paramount for what happened in Galatia. You see, when you look at things, that there's nothing new under the sun. And all through Galatia, Paul had spent time with these people. And he has spent a great deal of time. And so when we look at Galatians 2:27 here, 2:20 through 38, I'm just going to read this, and then I want you to see what I'm talking about. 2:27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. They have coveted one man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that in these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how it said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all that the words which he spake, that they should see him, see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Now this shows you how this apostle felt. He knew that when he had labored in the word with these people in Galatia, and he had given his time with them, and he had had contemporaries with them, and he had gone over this over and over and over. But he says that when I leave, that there's going to be wolves come in, not sparing the flock. And that's what we have here. We have a gospel that was preached by Paul and was given to the Galatians by Paul. And we have what? People would come in with damnable heresies and all kinds of notions and everything, and take what Paul has given and throw it out the window. Now, I'm going to get into that more later. But the fact of the matter is that Paul was sincere about what was given for him to preach. And Paul was so driven by God that he didn't think anything about, he was a tent maker. He didn't get money from churches or anything. And what he was is just totally committed to God. And that's what the Apostle Paul was. And he got sick, and he was hungry for starvings and everything, but it didn't stop him from giving the gospel of Christ. Because he had been committed by God on that desert for 3 years to give the gospel of grace. So we see here that grace and peace are twins of Paul that was given to him by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you really have the grace of God, you have peace, not peace as the world gives it, but the peace of Jesus Christ. And that peace is not what you'll get from the world. That peace is what the world gives you, and it's ludicrous to even think that you can have peace in this world.
Oh, Jesus.
It's crazy. Because anytime you start to have peace, just think you're going to get up in the morning and think you're going to have a peaceful day all through the day, all through the week, all through the month without having some kind of commotion come in your life. And that's what the case was. Now, from the book of grace, the grace from the book of Ephesians 1 and 3, where he tells he has been blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I want to take one of these spiritual blessings and break it down and show how grace works in our salvation. The term we're going to look at is redemption. And means to deliver by paying the price. The completion through the sacrifice of Jesus, but put forth in these words. Agratio means to purchase in the market, or the underlying thought is that The plan is to make the subjects of redemption that are sold under sin. Romans 4:14. The fact of the matter is that everybody who's born is born under sin. They come here under sin. The Bible says that man is born of a woman's few days and full of trouble. And he is born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And then he says here, now we're going to look at the purchase, and the purchase price, dies in the stead. Okay, now, let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. 3 and 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with the law.
No.
Nothing wrong with it. The law is good, perfect, holy, and everything. It's just one thing with the law. You got to deal with the flesh. And that's the killer. Because you see, your mind might have a godly perspective to do something, but you're always hindered by this right here. So, it's not what you want to do, is that the flesh prevents you from doing it. So, moreover, under the death, and so, and the purchase price is in the blood of the Redeemer, who dies in their stead. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, Christ took the punishment for us. When? 2,000 years ago? No. In eternity. The Bible says that he died for us from the foundation of the world. And we, well, and God saved us, he says, before the foundation of the world, he saved us. So, what happened 2,000 years ago was a manifestation of something that had happened back in eternity. So everything here that we see, what we see is what we don't see, is because everything here has all been planned and planned by God. Alright? And so in Exodus, to buy out of the market, the redeemed are never exposed to this sale again. Lutro, to lose, to set free by paying the price. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might have received the adoption of sons. The Apostle Paul, in his writings there, and he talks about the spiritual blessings that we get from this grace gospel. And one of the things is adoption. We are adopted as sons. And he lets us know that we have propitiation, justification, sanctification, redemption, glorification, all of these sacred things that he gives us through spiritual blessings. And these blessings are given to us by God. Not to Israel. But to the church. The church of God is the one who gets the spiritual blessings. So, Galatians 4:4-5, we did that. So, we come now to, so Christ paid the price. And the Holy Spirit makes the deliverance. Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So, Peter, repeat it again, for the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ coming and dying for us made me free of the law of sin and death. I don't have to worry about where I'm going now when I die. When I die, I have a glorified body waiting on me in heaven. Waiting on me in heaven. Everybody in here who is saved, they have a glorified body waiting on you in heaven. And that ought to give you much joy. And the fact that you have something that you, all this stuff about, well, I'm so sick and I'm so tired and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, what you're going to do is believe in who you are. You're a son of God. Amen. Don't worry about house notes and car notes and all that. You're going to have bills while you're here. But the fact of the matter is, when you die, and what is the most pleasurable thing? When you die, where you going to be? That's the beginning. People say, well, when he's dead, that's the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. That's when you look at where is your mindset in this world. Because you have to prioritize things. Everything here is temporary. And I'm going to deal with that later. I'm going to deal with that big time. Amen? All right. Who himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And 1-8. Deacon, I want you to read that for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1-8. King James.
Reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 1 through verse 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Now, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now, that's been spoken of many, many times at many funerals, but let's break it down. First of all, This flesh must be destroyed. It can't, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 22, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He's got to get rid of this. Get rid of this flesh. Where you got the spirit of man inside of this flesh. And the spirit is the one that goes to be with Christ in heaven. Alright? So, the fact of the matter is that flesh is like grass. It's not here long. And you walk through this life and you carry yourself through this life like you're so going to be here forever. And the fact of the matter is, you're going to be here for a lot of time. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know how long we're going to stay around. It says, for it is appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment. Alright? And I'm going to take you, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 Peter 1 and 25, 24, 25. Let's see, Deke, read that for me, please.
We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, King James Version. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
This flesh, everything in here, give or take 50, 60 years, we'll all be gone. And if not, the young kids back there, they might be here. They may remember the message. But the fact of the matter is, if the Lord tarries, they might be here, but not, they'll be gone. I'm trying to show you here through the message here that put no confidence in the flesh. Because this flesh is rotten, is wicked, and it will destroy you. You have to remember that. For testimony purposes only. That's why God has us in the flesh here. For testimony purposes only. Everything in the time zone is temporary. Nothing here is to remain the same. And the change is constant by the blink of your eye. Every time you blink your eye, there's change. If it's not in your life, somebody else's life. See, that's the kind of society we live in. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part where I know everything is going to be the same in time, daytime, nighttime, whatever. It's a wicked, wicked thing that we're dealing with. And so, the blink of your eye, there's a change. Nothing remains the same in life. As a matter of fact, the only action is that in life, see, the only thing that change is the only thing that's constant in life. Every human is the same makeup. You're born.
That's a cute little baby.
You live. I'm going to school here. I'm going to school there. I'm going to get a good job. And I'm going to pay the bills. And I'm going to do this and that. That's good. I'm not against education. Matter of fact, I extol education. I extol all of it. But the fact of the matter is, don't put your whole life in it. There's something else besides all of that. Keep it in its perspective.
Right.
Then we come to the point where nobody wants to talk about is death. And I'm here My health is relatively good, but I'm going to kick out of here one day. And I'll leave a wife, and then she's no longer married to me. Your parents are your parents only in this world. When they die, that's it. Your wife and husband is your wife and husband in this world. When you die, that's it. Everything here is temporary. Everything. In the blink of your eye, in the constant looking around, something has changed. Nothing remains the same. Only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else, you can throw it away. Only what you do for Christ will last. There's not an ounce of difference between a dead Rockefeller and a street bum. When they're both dead, they got to stand before God. You see, the Rockefeller money got him through life. But the thing is, when you're dead, you got to give an account to God for what you did with the money while you had it. A street bum is no different than a dead Rockefeller. And we better learn that. Everything in this life is temporary. And what are we going to get it through our heads that everything here is temporary? We go through this thing about, and you see people flying down the street and going nowhere. Where are you going to? Nowhere. I marvel that you so quickly removed from the gospel that call you to grace. These people, the Galatians, were very fickle people. You know what fickle means. You go and give somebody something, and then you come back and you expect them to keep it for you, and Deacon Gavin will come and say, "Well, I got something better for you." And they'll take what Deacon Gavin got after you spent 3 long years there with the people going through the gospel over and over and over. And then somebody will come with a nickel and dime story and tell them something, and they'll go for that right away.
Lord, help us,
Jesus.
Help us, Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about.
Help us, Jesus.
Very fickle people. Paul went into Galatia, and he left and came back, and these brethren that went with him gave them the gospel also. Paul wasn't there by himself. He said Paul and the brethren gave the gospel to these people over and over and over, and he left and come back, and it's just like he is. When he came back, it looked like he hadn't even been there at all. This is strange, because the Apostle Paul probably, I'm sure, went over and over with these Galatians over and over. And the thing is that, turn to Galatians 4:14. Did the Galatians get it when the guy gave it to them? Yes, they did. And we're going to take a look here. Galatians 4:14. The Apostle Paul had said an eye problem, and it's maybe I got the wrong scripture, because it says they would give him his eyes. Here it is, in verse 15. Read that, D. 14 and 15.
From Galatians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, King James Version. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me.
The Apostle Paul had, through different accounts there of the gospel, let you know that he had, they think he had an eye problem. And the Galatians, whom he was ministering to, had noticed this, and they would have given their own eyes. The gospel was so good to them that they would have given his own eyes for him to keep preaching the gospel to them, the gospel of grace. And what happened? When he leaves and goes, him and his brethren leave and come back, they find something entirely different that's been going on. It's very, very discouraging. But this was strange, because the Apostle Paul probably went over and over and over with these Galatians about what the true gospel was. The addition of Paul's gospel was an element of circumcision, of keeping the Jewish law and being circumcised to salvation. You see, this is what they did. Paul gave them the message. But by grace are you saved through faith plus nothing. And he went over and over with them. The Jewish sympathizers or Judaizers or rabble rousers or whatever came in behind him after he had left and then said, well, that's good, but you got one thing to do. See, when they put the butt in there, then they should have butt out and left. But what it said was, but you got to be circumcised to go with your faith. Now, that was fine for the kingdom church. But that wasn't fine for the grace church.
Right.
For the grace church was about salvation through faith plus nothing. So, here we are. We're in a dilemma. And they were sympathizing, and they came in so strong on these people that, being fickle-minded as they were, they drop what they were believing and start believing this. Paul was angry about it, because the Jews was adding one significant thing to the grace message: synergism, which is works. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not according to works. And if you're going to take it, and if you can make grace liquid, which you can't, but I'm going to show you an illustration. If I had 10,000 gallons of grace here, and I got one little thing that's the size of an amoeba, and I put it in that jug of grace, it is no longer grace, it is works. Grace plus nothing is works. Grace plus that amoeba is works. salvation through grace is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not according to works. Which is not another. But some would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. Pure soul. Pure grace is not in circumcision, not in writings, or not in ordinances, or not any of that. It is by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I want to say this. All of these things, plus anything, nullifies grace. And we're still dealing with that subject today. We are dealing with salvation by works, by something that we put in what God says.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that it is still by grace through faith plus nothing.
That's right.
Alright? Now, we have the people that are still doing it. We have a new way now. Baptism has replaced circumcision. The sacraments have replaced the law. And every denomination, everyone has a, well, let's go through. The Roman Catholic Church is Mary. The Lutheran Church is this and that. Your apostolic, well, you say by faith, you baptize in the Holy Ghost. Baptist. Baptism. Church of Christ. Baptism. Church of God in Christ. Baptism. Church of God in baptism. Everybody's got their own, every denomination's got their own hobby horse. Salvation by this and by that.
Right.
You don't see them skin it down where it's just salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. It doesn't matter what you the denomination is. They've got a hobby horse.
Yes.
Now, I want to show you what I mean. The quarter. Hold it. We got here a dollar bill. Okay? This is the denomination for whatever you're dealing with money-wise in America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, this is a sad thing about the, I'm using this as illustration only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, that quarter there is what? A denomination. Mm-hmm. It's less than the denomination.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get to heaven believing in something that's less than the denomination? Get to heaven believing in a quarter when it's a dollar denomination. It's a denomination. That's a denomination. That's taken from the dollar.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, God is gracious and He knows the ones that are saved. So it doesn't matter whether He looks over us and everything, and He knows that we're dealing with all kinds of things in our lives. So He doesn't hold this to us for salvation, he said, because what we do is we go through and we go through and we do this and we do that and everything. And what he does is, it's just one of those things that we are short on. And I'm short on some things. Everybody in here is short on some things. So that's just what it is. But that was what I want to say. It doesn't matter what you preach. The grace gospel says let him be accursed. Now if you're going to preach something else besides the grace gospel, then what you need to do is you're going to go by all those things and live a perfect life. That's one thing. Live a perfect life. Down on the cross. Because he says, if you're preaching any other gospel, then let him be accursed. So he says there that, so if you're going to be accursed like Christ, then you live a perfect life. Okay? And then you die on a cross. And then you bear it for 3 days. And then what you do is you are raised from the dead. When you do all of those things, then we can give you the praise and the glory, and then you can become God yourself. But the fact of the matter is you can't do it because you're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. No other angel can preach the gospel because the Bible lets us know that greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. So when Christ comes and lives in our bodies, that's not, no angel can do that. He doesn't have that. That's given to the church only. To us is given to that. Now the angel, there is another gospel the angels will preach. That's from Revelation, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. Let's go to that. Okay, Dick, read that for me.
We're reading from the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
Okay, that lets you know that there's going to be an angel that will preach the everlasting gospel during the tribulation period. But one thing for sure, we won't be here. Okay, we'll be gone to be with the Lord. Okay, but they can preach that gospel because it wasn't given to them to be saved. They have ordered intelligence things they can do, but angels cannot save as we are. Okay, God is going to straighten this out. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. Okay, all right. Deep read.
We're reading from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 5th verse, through verse 15. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Okay, every man's work is going to be tried what sort it is. What was your intentions when you did the work? Whatever. What did you have on your mind? What was the ultimate gain or ultimate motive for why you did it? And the thing is that God's plan was finalized in eternity. God is not a God that does things subsequent over and over and make mistakes here, make mistakes there. It was decreed by God in eternity. God's plan was decreed in eternity. Ephesians chapter 3, 1 verse 3 through 5. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 through 5. You got it, Dick?
Yes.
Read it.
Reading from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 to 5.
Right.
3 to 5. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us in every blessing spiritual, in the heavenlies, in Christ, as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Okay. Everything was created in eternity. Everything, when we got here, our lives and everything was all charted by God.
Amen.
Predestinated.
Yes.
That's a word that people don't want to hear today. I wasn't predestinated for anything. Yes, you were.
Yes.
You were predestinated by God. All right? And so everything that God has created, he's got plans for it. And when he created the galaxies, the galaxies and the black holes and everything, God is control of all of it. God knows where this is, that is, and he even knows the number of hairs on your head. And if I get nailed down to pray at night, which I do every night, he hears my prayers, and he's got all of these things in the universe to contend with, but he still hears my prayer. The kind of God we serve, a mighty God, a God who is big, and who the Bible says in Colossians, it says all things were created in him, and there's still space to go around. The good, the bad, and everything was planned by God in eternity. Why? When something bad happens to us, don't say, "Well, that's so bad, it's happened to me." What is the purpose that he made it for, did it for you? The purpose of God's plan in your life. Everything created in time is a testimony to God. And every glance And blink of my eyes, there's change coming. As I come to a close, what is the purpose that God has in your life? That's what I want you to think about today. Take that with you and think about it. What is the purpose that God does something in your life? Everything, the second thing is, everything in this life is temporary. Your house, your clothes, your job, everything in this life is temporary. There is not one thing that's permanent. Only what you do for Christ will last. That's the only thing. The third thing is that God is the master of all things. The universe, the galaxies, the black holes, and everything. It's all by God. And he even knows the number of hairs on your head. And you know something? They have never found anybody got the same fingerprint. Of all the time fingerprints they have studied, nobody's got the same fingerprint. No zebra has the same amount of stripes. No zebra has the same stripes going the same way. Only God could do that. And it's something for you to think about. You see, this whole life is clearly abundant, that with the power of God in our lives, we don't ever think about, we get caught up in our own manifestation, our own struggles, and we think that that's the only thing that is planned by God, but God has a bigger purpose for that, what you're going through. Eternity is forever. Created by God to work out his plan. In the end, time will be no more. We're in the time zone now. But it won't be anymore. As Ed Littman said about that little piece of tape on the board there, on the wall, That's what it is. Little piece of tape is not that much of time. But outside of that, and all this, time is just something that's created by God that's temporary. And the time will come when time won't be no more. And it'll be, everything will be spiritual, and time will be no more. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that. I've got my body waiting on me in heaven right now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's what I'm looking forward to going to. There's a few things down here I'd like to clear up before I leave. But the fact of the matter is, I'm looking forward to going home with the Lord. That's what you ought to be. Get your priorities in order. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Look at this life through the bird's eye view rather than the broad spectrum down here on earth. Because everything on earth here is going to disappear. And we won't be here forever. Prepare to meet your God. Because that's what it's going to take. And that's going to be it for me today. I pray to God that you got something out of the message. And God bless you.
Praise God.